Good morning, friends. You are welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. It's once again a privilege to be speaking to you this morning. It's a privilege to share the Word of God. We'll go straight into the Word of God, and the title for today is Right Kind of Faith. Friends, we are so privileged because we live in interesting times. We live in times when things change every day. But this morning, I believe that there's one thing that never changes, and that is the Word of God. It never changes like fashion. It stays the same because our God never changes. He never changes, not today, not tomorrow, and not any time in future. He is the same every day, and His truth remains. It never changes. So friends, we are privileged because as things change every day, as the truth keep on changing, the truth of man, there's one thing that never changes, and that is the truth of God. So the message for today is really to encourage us as Christians to hold on to the Word of God that never changes, but more so to encourage us that we live our lives and that our actions and everything that we do aligns with the truth of God. Friends, we have confessed Christ as our Lord, and we have accepted His word as the truth. So as we confess Him as God, and as we confess the truth or the word of God, our lives should align with the word of God. Everything that we do should be in alignment with the word of God. And Titus chapter 1 verse 16 says the following. It says, they claim to know God, but their actions, they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. So friends, as we claim to know God, as we claim to know God, our actions should show that we indeed know God. Because Titus makes it clear, it says they claim to know God, but their actions, in other words, their mouth says something different to their actions. So the Word of God is encouraging us that our words, our confession of Christ and His truth, and our actions, the way we live our lives, should align together. There mustn't be a difference. And Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 14, the Bible says the following. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Verse 2, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So friends, the Bible in Romans chapter 10 verse 10, the Bible says, if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Christ is Lord, then we get saved. So our journey with Christ, our relationship with God, begins with confession and believing. We believe in Christ, we believe in His word, the truth. Then our journey begins. So at point A, we lived a different life. When we do the confession, we confess Christ as our Lord, we accept the truth, we get transitioned to point B, where we are expected to live a different life. And when we move from point A to point B, the Bible says we are now dead at point A. We no longer exist there. In other words, we cease to live our lives the way we lived at point A. And the Bible calls point A the place of sin. And Romans says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that the grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died. So we have died at point A. How can we live in it any longer? In other words, if at point A we lived a life of gossip, that's just an example. The Bible says we can't do that any longer because we are dead. And dead people don't act. Dead people don't get engaged or involved in gossip. We are dead at point A. Now we are alive at another place. Verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. We died with Christ at point A. In verse 4, we're therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So at point A, we die to the life of sin and we become alive at point B. And here at point B, we are now expected to live a new life. In other words, the actions or the way we lived our lives, the way we did things at point A should be different from the way we do things and live our lives at point B. We are expected to live a new life. And verse 5 says the following: for if we have been united with him in death, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. So the Bible says, if we died with him here, we also wake up with him here, where we are expected to live a new life. Verse 6, for we know that our old self is the old self at point A, was crucified. So the Bible is making an emphasis. We are dead there. We were crucified there with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So the Bible says that person that lived that life at point A has been crucified. That person, that body is dead. We are now doing new things at point B. And the Bible says we are no longer slaves to sin. So in other words, sin has no power over us. When the Bible says we are no longer slaves, it means sin has no power over us. Verse 7, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So you and me have been set free from the power of sin, or from sin itself, the thing that made us to do things that we did not want to do, the things that after we did them, we were like, but how did I do that? The Bible says we have been set free. Sin no longer has power over our lives. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So if we believe the truth that we died at point A, we should also believe that we are alive at point B with Christ, with a new life. Praise God. Verse 9, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Verse 10, the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. And that life, friends, we live with him. Verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Friends, this is a power of truth, especially for us as believers. It's a power of truth to know that sin has no hold over your life. It's a power of truth, because if we don't believe this truth, friends, it becomes very hard to walk in victory and to walk in freedom. We have to believe that we died to sin. We no longer exist at point A, friends. You and me can live a life free of sin, but it begins with belief. We have to believe that truth. And as we believe that truth, then we begin to endeavor to align our actions with the fact that we have been set free from sin and everything that comes with sin. Praise God. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Now, friends, that's also very powerful and very important, because the Bible says, therefore, do not let. In other words, Christ has set you free, but you have a responsibility to not let sin to rule over you. Because Christ died for you, he died for me, set us free. But you can allow sin to rule over your life. But it's your responsibility to not allow. It's not your responsibility to set yourself free, but it's your responsibility to not allow. In other words, it's also your responsibility to allow the freedom that Christ has given to rule over your life. Verse 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, whether it's your body, whether it's your tongue. The Bible says do not engage in gossip. Whether it's your body, you might get involved in fornication, adultery. The Bible says do not allow yourself to get part or to get involved in such. Why? Because Christ has set us free. Verse 13. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. It's your responsibility, friends, to offer yourself to God. Praise God in prayer, in word, in fellowship. It's your responsibility. As those who have been brought from death to life, we have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. So friends, it's when we give our all to God. We give our tongue, we give our hands, we give our bodies. We come to a place where we say, I will not allow myself to get involved in addictions and destroy my body and every part of my body. I will give myself to God. It's your responsibility to make that effort, friends. Verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. So the Bible again makes it clear that God has given us grace to live in freedom. Praise God. So we see, friends, that we are not expected to live in sin. We also see that God has provided the answer. And what is the answer? The freedom from the power of sin. So God is not just asking us not to live in sin, but He has also provided the answer. And what is the answer? He has provided the power. God has provided the freedom from the power of sin through the death of His Son. Praise God. So friends, we need the kind of faith in Jesus that acts and obeys. So we confess that we know God. We confess that we have accepted the truth. But our actions must align. We must obey God. James chapter 2 verse 14 to 20, the Bible says the following. What good is it, my brothers and sisters at Lighthouse, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? So the Bible is saying it's pointless for us to come every Sunday to church, lift up our hands and say we are children of God. But if our confession of the fact that we have accepted Christ and we have accepted the truth has no deeds, the Bible says, what good is that? It's nothing. Verse 15, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes. So those are some of the actions that we can get involved. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you are faith of deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God. God, even the demons believe that. And shudder, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? So the Bible is making it clear. It says even the devil believes. But for you and me, the Bible says our belief should be accompanied with actions. And if we go into the Word of God, friends, you go to the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you go to Galatians, you find some of the actions that we are expected to engage in as believers. So the Bible has outlined, it talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those are the actions that we are expected to live in, friends. So friends, we see that our faith is expected to have deeds. Faith must lead to actions. We also see that besides confessing faith, It is supposed to be shown through our deeds. Accompanied actions to our faith makes a difference. So friends, if we confess and we couple it with actions, then our faith is complete. Without actions, our faith is not complete. And as I said, friends, if we want to understand the actions that we're expected to get involved, let's go to the Word of God, read the book of Galatians, read about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, read the book of Corinthians when the Bible speaks about love. Those are the actions that we're expected to get involved in. Also, not to give our bodies to something that we're not supposed to give our bodies to. In other words, we live the truth of God. Praise God. God has given us the grace and the gift of faith to live a victorious life. Now, friends, you might be sitting there and say, but I want to live in freedom. I no longer want to live in sin. Friends, it's God's responsibility to set us free. And as we have seen from the book of Romans, through Christ, God has set us free from the power of sin. And the Bible, in the book of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10, the Bible says the following: delight greatly in the Lord, my soul rejoice in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in the robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest. I like the part where the Bible says, for he has clothed me. Now, friends, dressing as a way of changing the way we do things. You know, I've been thinking about the priests, you know, the priests that put a collar. I want you to imagine if a person was wearing a collar, you know, that white thing that the priests put there. And if those people were to be found in public and let's say something happens to them, they would not do anything or insult or lift a hand because they are so much concerned about the collar. So, friends, I think dressing, you know, as a way of conditioning the way we do things. So you might have a collar. The moment you put that, it brings your actions to the level of that collar. You know, it's like when you're wearing formal shoes, your high heels, it just as a way of conditioning your walk. So the Bible says, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. Our duty, friends, is to search in the Word of God. What did salvation offer us? And the moment we do that and we begin to endeavor to align our actions, because remember, Christ has provided the power. Christ has destroyed the power of sin. Ours is to align our actions, is to trust him for strength, to trust him for grace, so that our actions begin to align with the cloth that he has put on us, the garment of salvation and righteousness. Praise God. And friends, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, the Bible says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So friends, in as much as we are talking about actions, we never get saved by good actions. We are saved by the grace of God. And God gives us the grace to live a righteous life. God gives us the grace to live according to what salvation has offered us. The actions are the byproduct of the grace of God. So ours is to put faith in the work that Christ has done on the cross, the things that he has accomplished on the cross. And when we do that, friends, we honor Christ and the work that he has accomplished on the cross. Praise God. Salvation never lies in our actions. Salvation is in the work that Jesus has done on the cross. The good actions and the deeds are the byproducts of the work that Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. Friends, let's summarize. In Romans chapter 6, I see the time is finishing, the Bible says the following: you read this, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. We see that you and me have a responsibility not to let. Praise God. So you and me have a responsibility to make a commitment to the truth and to Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. For it is by grace you have been saved. We make a commitment, God does the saving through the grace. Praise God. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says the following: being confident of this, that he who begins a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. You may be listening to me and you're a Christian and you say you are struggling with sin. You're struggling with sin. You have been a Christian. Recommit to Christ. Recommit to the truth. But there's an encouragement for you and me that God is faithful to bring to completion that which he started in your life. As long as you are committed, you acknowledge God's grace, you acknowledge the work of Christ, the Bible says God is faithful and he will bring to completion that which he's doing in your life, that which he started. Praise God. God bless you and have a good week. And God bless you.